Chapter 4. Dangerous Animals. About a month after I saw the black mamba, Mdisho and I went on a short journey into the heart of the country in the old shell car. Tabora is 450 miles from Dar es Salaam, and in 1939 it was not really a town. It was just a few houses and a few streets with shops, but it was big enough to have a British district officer. The district officer was a British man who looked after the area for Britain. And where there was a district officer, a shell man was always welcome to stay the night at his house. The district officer in Tabora was a young man called Robert Sanford. He had a wife and three children, a boy of 6, a girl of 4, and a baby. That evening, I was sitting with Robert Sanford and his wife Mary in their garden. We were enjoying a drink before dinner, while two of the children played in the grass. The Sanford house was on a hill outside the town. Sitting there, watching the sun go down over the beautiful African land was very nice. I told the Sanfords about Salimu and the black mamba. When I finished, Mary said, "That's the one thing I'm always frightened of in this country, those horrible snakes."
"You're very lucky you saw it," Robert said. "You saved his life."
The evening was calm and quiet, but suddenly we heard the voice of a man shouting in Swahili. It was Mdisho.
"Lion!" he shouted from somewhere behind the house. "Lion! Lion! Lion!"
All three of us jumped to our feet, and the next moment Mdisho appeared round the corner of the house.
"Come quickly! Come quickly!"
he shouted in Swahili.
"A huge lion is eating the wife of the cook!"
That sounds funny now when it is written on paper here in England, but to us then, in the middle of East Africa, it was not funny at all. Robert ran into the house and came back with a gun.
"Take the children into the house," he shouted to his wife as he ran down the steps.
Mdisho was at the back of the house, jumping, pointing and shouting.
"The lion has taken the wife of the cook, and the lion is eating her. The cook is following the lion and trying to save his wife."
As we ran round the corner, we saw more men who were also jumping and shouting like Mdisho. They all lived in low buildings behind the house with their families. The women were outside too, watching silently. 70 or 80 meters away was a huge sandy-coloured lion. He was moving away from the house with the cook's wife in his mouth. The lion was holding the woman by her middle so that her head and arms fell one way and her legs fell the other way. Behind the lion ran the cook, whose name was Pingo. He wore long white clothes and a red hat on his head. He ran bravely, waving his arms, making lots of noise, hitting his hands together, screaming and shouting, "Lion! Lion! Lion! Give me my wife!" Now Robert Sanford ran after the cook, who was running after the lion. Sanford was holding his gun with two hands and shouting to the cook,
"Pingo! Pingo, move! Lie down on the ground so I can shoot the lion! You are in the way! You are in the way, Pingo!"
But the cook was not listening.
He kept running, and the lion was not listening either. He kept going too. Both the cook and Sanford were moving faster than the lion, who did not look like he cared at all. I did not know what to do, so I ran after Robert Sanford. Now the cook was only 10 meters from the lion. Robert Sanford was 30 meters behind him. Sanford stopped, pointed his gun up, and shot into the air. There was a huge noise. The lion stopped and turned his head. The woman was still in his mouth. Then he dropped the cook's wife onto the ground and ran away. The cook reached his wife first, then Sanford, then me. I could not believe what I saw. The woman was sitting up and smiling at her husband.
"Where are you hurt?" asked Sanford.
"I'm not hurt. I wasn't afraid," the woman said, and she smiled. "He could not hurt me. I just acted dead, and he didn't even bite through my clothes."
"Are you sure the lion didn't hurt you? Didn't his teeth go into your body?"
"No," laughed the woman. "He carried me as carefully as one of his babies. But now I will have to wash my dress."
No one could believe it.
"I don't think anything like this has ever happened before," Robert said later, sitting in the garden again. "In this place, lions only attack people to protect their babies. They don't eat people because there are lots of wild animals here."
"Maybe the lion's family was in the trees," Mary said.
"Lions who are protecting their families kill people immediately. But he carried her carefully. I don't think that he wanted to hurt her," said Robert.
News of this story travelled all over East Africa. Even today, no one understands what happened.
Oh, those snakes! How I hated them! One evening, I was invited to the house of an Englishman called Freddie Fuller, who lived with his wife and 2 small children. I was walking across the grass towards the house when I saw a large green snake go straight up the steps of Fuller's house and in through the open door. The bright yellow-green skin and its great size made me sure that it was a green mamba, a snake almost as dangerous as the black mamba. I ran round to the back of the house, shouting, "Mr. Fuller! Mr. Fuller!" Mrs. Fuller looked out of a window.
"What's the matter?" she said.
"You've got a large green mamba in your house," I shouted.
A green mamba. Freddie Fuller's round red face appeared at the window next to his wife.
"What's happening?" he asked.
"There's a green mamba in your living room," I shouted.
Freddie Fuller did not ask any more questions, but said,
"Stay there. I'm going to pass the children to you."
A small girl was passed through the window to me, then a small boy. Then came Mrs. Fuller, then Freddie himself.
"What happens now?" I asked.
"I'm going to get the snake man," Freddie said, and he drove away in his car.
Mrs. Fuller, the children and I walked down to the road and sat under a large tree. "Who is this snake man?" I asked Mrs. Fuller.
"He is an old Englishman who has been out here for years," Mrs. Fuller said. he actually likes snakes. He understands them, and he never kills them. He catches them and sells them. Everyone here knows him, so when they see a snake, they call him. Then he comes and catches it. But the snake man will never buy a snake from anyone.
Why not? I asked.
He doesn't want anyone to catch a snake themselves. It's too dangerous. When he first came, some people died trying to catch snakes to sell to him.
Is the snake in the house, Mummy?
The small girl asked. Yes, but the snake man is going to get it out.
He'll bite Jack, the girl said.
The dog! Mrs. Fuller cried, jumping up.
I forgot about the dog!
She began calling out.
Jack! Come here, Jack! 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 Jack!
The children called the dog too, but no dog came out of the open front door. Mr. Fuller arrived back with the snake man, who carried a long pole and a big bag. The pole was 2.5 meters long, and its end had two parts like a fork. The snake man, Fuller and I walked over to the house.
Go carefully, the snake man said. The snake can feel the ground move when you walk. Wait until I'm in the house, then walk quietly and stand by the window. You can watch from there.
I felt better when the door was closed. Well, I felt better for myself. I did not feel better for the snake man. Fuller and I watched through the window. The snake man saw the snake, and the snake saw him. The man waited while the snake stared at him with its two small black eyes. Then the man spoke to the snake in a quiet voice.
Come along. There's a good boy. Nobody's going to hurt you.
The snake shot at him like a bullet and tried to bite his leg, but the man protected his leg well. As the man spoke more, he brought the pole over the snake's body. Then, wham! The snake was caught by the pole. Holding the end of the long pole, the man moved slowly round the room until he was by the snake's tail. Then he very carefully pushed the pole so it was by the snake's head. The man took the snake by the neck and pushed it head first into the bag. The bag jumped around so much it looked like there were 50 angry cats inside it. The snake man picked up his pole, came out of the house, and said,
You'd better move the dog before the children see it.
A green mamba.